to our next segment, which is National and Gangs. So yesterday, National announced a new policy to crack down on meth dealing among gangs. The policy includes a rollout of new police powers, which enable the police to search gang members' properties without a warrant. Police Minister Paula Bennett says drugs such as meth and the gangs that peddle them are a scourge on society. In outlining the policy, Bennett defended the hardline approach taken, saying serious criminals and gang members have fewer human rights than others. Earlier today, Sam spoke to Canterbury University sociologist Jerry Gilbert about the policy. Gilbert says Paula Bennett should resign over it, and he labelled the move cynical and dangerous.
What is your initial reaction to National's new policy?
Well, I think lost in a lot of this noise is there were actually some good elements to the policy. But what has made the front pages, as it were, was the suggestion that we can somehow remove rights of gang members. Now, on face value, people might say, well, who cares, they're only gang members. But, you know, human rights are human rights. We don't get to pick and choose who gets them. In fact, any suggestion that we can, I think, is quite repugnant to the principles that, you know, support our democracy, support our country. So they ought be seen very, very cynically, and in fact, as something more than that, actually, as something dangerous. And I'm pleased that so many people have come out and called Paula Bennett on that.
Now, part of the policy also includes giving police new powers to search cars and houses of gang members at any time without a warrant. Is this the right way to go about cracking down on crime?
No, it's not. You know, if you replace the term gang member with any other group in society, we would not support the police going in without a warrant to search people's homes. It's a very intrusive power. And it's a tool that we're giving to the police without that judicial oversight, which is currently the case. And so, no, we oughtn't do that. And it concerns me that we are considering doing that in a sort of a sober light, as it were, because we're not often challenged on rights-based issues in easy cases. It's usually a very difficult one. So it concerns me a bit what measures we'll take when we have a genuine crisis, when we are really put under pressure, you know, by, say, a terrorism incident or something. What rights will we begin to remove then if we're so seemingly so willing to sort of do it now?
Would you also say that such measures are an extreme breach of privacy?
Yeah, look, they are. They're going into someone's home, you know, it's their sanctuary, isn't it? I mean, I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
And just because you're a member of a gang doesn't remove your right to not have the police come in without a good reason. And these powers would mean that they could come in to search for weapons is the reason given, but without any cause for thinking a crime has been committed at all. They can just wander in and search. We should be very, very mindful of giving police those powers, and in fact, we shouldn't do it.
Do police have more powers now in New Zealand compared to a lot of other Western countries?
Do you know what? I'm actually not sure how we would stand relative. I mean, I think because the Bill of Rights in New Zealand is just common law, we don't have a written constitution as such. Laws that breach rights can, in fact, be passed in this country, which is quite an odd sort of thing if you think about it, because what's the point of having a Bill of Rights Act if it doesn't supersede other law? And obviously, the likes of the US, for example, obviously has a written constitution that enshrines rights much more solidly.
Mm.
But when it comes to specific police powers, I must say I'm not sure.
Do you think this has the potential to upset relations between the police and gangs?
Oh, look, it would certainly have that effect. If your policy is to anger and annoy gang members, then this policy would do that, because suddenly you can have the police just coming in and searching your house and your car. Now, again, we may have very little sympathy for gang members, but how they will react when they're targeted unjustly. Most gang members will take a fair cop.
Yep.
If you're banged to rights, if they're misbehaving and they get caught, that, well, you know, slap the cuffs on and off we go. No one's going to complain about that. But if you're being unjustly searched, and regularly so, quite rightly, that's going to anger people. And I would suggest for no good reason. You know, that's a very poor way to make policy. And remembering, you know, we should be quite used to this in some ways. because every 3 years during an election, gangs come up, don't they? You know, and, and there are always sort of these policies to put in place to smash the gang. So we many of us will just sort of roll our eyes and go, well, here we go again. The difference here is that the measure has gone a step too far. And when the minister is talking about removing people's human rights and doing so quite happily with a smile on her face, is a problem. And that's where we should all stand up and just take a bit more notice.
How big a problem is meth in the gang community? Because Paula Bennett says that gangs are manufacturing it, are a scourge on society.
And look, that's fair. No one's here to defend meth dealers. But look, I'll put it this way, because context. I think we do need some context around this, because it's so often, and this is politicians. It largely comes from politicians, are always banging on the gangs, drugs, forgetting the fact that the vast majority of people arrested for dealing methamphetamine aren't in a gang. So, you know, it's so easy to see that, believe that gangs and drugs are synonymous, when in reality, if we could click our fingers tomorrow and shoot every gang member or incarcerate every gang member, the trade in methamphetamine would largely be interrupted. There might be a blip to those gang members who are dealing drugs, but when we have the demand, there'll always be a supply. So I think it's important that we decouple those issues. We should be talking about organised crime and drugs, rather than gangs and drugs, because that casts the net sufficiently wide as to be, you know, much more accurate.
Now, what would be the best way then to go about addressing this issue?
Well, look, it's probably a bit trite to say, but if we are genuine in our desire to tackle the meth issue, we have to combat the demand. And so that means educating people away from drugs. From using drugs, particularly methamphetamine, but more so, I think, funding intervention. So when people are addicted to drugs, that there are ways and means that they can get off that easily, and that's not the case at the moment. And the reason why that's important is not just because we don't want addicted citizens, but because addicted citizens will commit more crime, largely to support their habit. And so it's in all of our best interests to tackle that. And remembering, National's policy actually had elements of that to it. But unfortunately, that's sort of been forgotten, because they went down the sort of silly politicking road to attempt to garner votes from people who think getting tough on crime is the answer. And unfortunately, there are many people in our community who believe that. So while it might be terrible policy, it's pretty good politics.
To understand the distinction, Rewire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.